Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, offer grace to know him more and trust him more. Psalm 119 says to us, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed hereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." 105 tells us, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word meets us where we're at. It does not matter whether you are a Christian or not. God will meet you where you're at through his word. It does not matter whether you've been a Christian for one day or 100 years. God's word will meet you where you're at. If you are little in the faith or a father in the faith, God's word speaks to us and meets us where we are. God's word is truth. God's word is power. God's word is alive. God's word is life-changing, and God's word will abide forever. And when we come to a passage that we are going to look at today, God's word will challenge us. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace that you have given us to save us, that we may know your word. Father, I pray that your word works in our hearts today, Father. Change our minds, change our hearts, draw us closer to you through your word today, I pray, in Jesus' name. We will be in 1 John chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3. This is God's word. "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, I abide in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." And this is our passage for today. 15 through 17. This is God's word. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. and the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have been in the book of 1 John on Sunday evenings since December. This is the 17th message in one form or another in the book of 1 John. In order to get the proper context of our three verses here, I'm just going to review quickly. John tells us that we have full joy in the fellowship in the family of God. That we are children of God and we are in his family. And in order to have joy, we need to walk in the light with the Father. In order to walk in the light with the Father, we need Christ. Christ enables us to be in the family of God. And Christ enables us to walk in the light with the Father because his blood is cleansing us. And we went through that we know that we know Christ. And if we know that we know Christ, and we say we abide in him, he tells us then we ought to walk as he walks. Walk as he walked, loving the Father and loving others. Active fellowship with the Father is walking in the light. Walking in the light is walking as Jesus walked. Walking as Jesus walked is loving God, loving neighbors, and loving each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. Loving this way is a real commandment. It is truth. This is the commandment that all of the laws and all of the prophets hang on, to love. This is an expected way of life for us. If we say we abide in Christ, this is how we ought to be living. Every single moment of every single day, our lives, we ought to be loving God, our neighbors, and each other. This is what living the gospel is all about. A few weeks ago, Pastor preached a message on Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to take a quick look at that. This is God's word. Therefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Pastor talked about running the race of endurance. The passage we are going to look at is very important within this race of endurance. It is part of our battle. It is most of our battle that we will be fighting. John brings it to us in a negative instruction. It is a command not to do something. So let's take a look at our passage. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. These are God's words. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. We're going to look at three things here within this passage this week. And next week we're going to move on a little bit, and we're going to look at victory through all of this, and we're going to answer the question, for to not love the world, why in the world are we here? That's next week. This week we're going to look at the details of this instruction. We're going to look at what it reveals and how it reveals it. And then the third thing we'll look at is the end result of obeying this commandment. So let's take a look at the details of the instruction. Love not the world. What does it mean to love not the world? John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for us. If God loves the world, why is John telling us not to love the world? That's why it becomes important for us to have a proper understanding of the word world. In the New Testament, it has a number of different meanings. In John 3:16, it means God's created order of things, His creation. He loves His creation. He loves His people. He loved His people so much that He sent His Son. Another meaning, and the one that we apply here, is it is the present order of things. The present order of things in this world, which are evil. They are opposed to Christ. The current world system is opposed to the truth of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at some scripture in Galatians to see this. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 1. These are Paul's opening remarks to the church at Galatia. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This is God's word. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Something evil is going on here. We as Christians, we know that. We know that the world is evil, don't we? This present world system, this world order is dark. It is evil. Let's look at one more. Ephesians chapter 6. Just before what we're going to look at, Paul has just given us a long exhortation on how we ought to live. It in fact starts in verse 4 with this statement. Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." He goes on from there to give more instruction on how we ought to be walking, and he comes to chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and he says this, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." This should sound very familiar to those of us that have been on Sunday nights in the book of 1 John. Paul, in essence, is saying the same thing that John has been telling us. If we know that we know Christ, if we really know Christ, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. If we say that we abide in Christ, we ought to walk as Christ walked. If we say we abide in Christ, we ought to walk worthy of our calling. And Paul gives us 3.5 chapters on how we should be walking. And then he comes to this point. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is God's word. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The rulers of the darkness of this world. This current world system, this current world order is dark. It is evil. It is not of God. It is not of the kingdom of God. So that is the word world. I hope we have a better understanding now that we've looked at it. The second thing we would see then are the things in the world. The things in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And the first thing we notice about the things in this world is that they are not of God. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we see that the things in the world are not of God. Which helps us to go back to our first definition of world. If the things in the world are not of God, then the world itself, the current world system, is not of God. It is not of the kingdom of God. It does not promote our walk in the light. In fact, it causes us to stumble in our walk. We see the lusts and the pride are in the world. Let's take a look at those. The lusts of the flesh. What does that mean? What does it mean, the lusts of the flesh? Let's define lust. Which the ESV version, if you're following along in there, translates desire. And the Greek word really means a strong longing for, or a great desire, or a lust. It is not necessarily a bad connotation, the original Greek word. But it is a longing. And when it becomes a desire or a longing for something that is forbidden, that's when it becomes lust. And that's when it turns to evil. And that is what John is writing about here. Lusting after something that is forbidden. So, where does lust come from? James tells us in chapter 1, verse 14, that the lust comes from within us. Comes from within us. Let's take a little closer look at lust of the flesh by defining flesh. Flesh in the household term, the normal household meaning, is that without skin. It is flesh. It is meat. The definition we're interested in this passage is that it is the body as opposed to the soul or spirit. It is the body. It is the seat or the location of our carnal desires. That is that which has the human nature in us, the carnal nature. It is weak. It is prone to sin. It is the nature in us with cravings to incite sin. Let's turn to Romans 8, and that'll help us understand this a little better. Romans chapter 8. This is the passage following the cry of Paul saying that he is doing the things he doesn't want to do. In fact, he does the evil that he hates. It is a struggle within him. And the war is in his mind and is between the members of his flesh and the law of God. And he states, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the death within this body?" And he gives thanks to Christ, because Christ accomplished that. And we come to this passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. This is God's word. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ, in Christ Jesus, hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We should see clearly here the difference, the separation between the body, the flesh, and the Spirit. In verse 1, we see in Christ we are to walk after the Spirit, not the flesh. In verse 5, those that walk after the flesh mind those things of the flesh. But those after the Spirit walk after the things of the Spirit. And in case we think it is okay to be carnally minded, verse 6 tells us it is death to be carnally minded. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verses 7 and 8 tell us carnal mindedness is enmity, hostility against God, and cannot please Him. Lusts of the flesh. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. Because the things in the world are the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes. They are not from God. Listen, if we are to walk in the light with God, we ought to walk as Christ walked. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And as we are in our battles, we battle the darkness of this world. We battle hard not to love the world because our flesh lusts after the evil in this world. We are not to give in to the lusts of our flesh. These things are evil, and they draw us away from our walk with God. They draw us away from our witness in Christ. They draw us away from fellowship and worship with God. And they draw us away from glorifying the God that saved us. Lusts of the flesh. Do I really need to name them? Or do we have an understanding of what they are? To strongly desire, to long for, to lust after anything other than God is sin. To long for, lust after, desire anything more than God takes us away from our walk. God commands all of us to love Him completely. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is real. This is truth. This is the way of God. We ought to walk as Christ walked. Let's look back at our passage and the two lusts. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If the love of man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We've looked at the lust of the flesh. Let's take a look at the lust of the eyes. The eyes are the gateway for the lust of the flesh. The eyes are the gateway. Our eyes see and our flesh responds. Our flesh covets what we see. John very closely ties together lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He ties them closely together. So that is what I'm going to attempt to do here. And we are going to move on to the pride of life. Pride is self-confidence. Pride is boasting. Pride is rebellion to God because it brings upon us ourselves the glory and honor that is due to God. We have nothing without God. The pride of life. Life here is a bit different than we would look at it in its normal terms. The Greek word is bios. It is where we get the word biography from. It is where we get the word biography, and it is only used 11 times in the New Testament. It refers to the period or the course of life. It refers to the possessions and the wealth of life that we use to sustain us during our lives. The ISBE states it in this manner, and I think this sums it up. Life in the sense of livelihood. Life in the sense of livelihood. So the pride of life is the boasting of and the self-confidence we have for the material things we possess and the manner in which we live. Paul gives us an excellent example of this in his second letter to Timothy. And I think it will speak for itself. We're going to look at the ESV on this passage because this modern language really hits home. It really brings it out. Let God's word speak to you about the pride of life as it ties to the lust of the flesh. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is God's word. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For the people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Do not love the world nor the things in the world, for they are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Avoid such people, Timothy instructs us. Millions and millions and millions of dollars are spent on advertising to entice us through this process. This is not new. This is as old as Adam and Eve and the original sin. And I want to go back to Genesis and take a look at that. So we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. This is God's word. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Surely you shall surely not die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And then this next verse is the single verse in Scripture which sent the world into its sinful journey. Verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We're going to re-put this up on the board, and I'm just going to underline a few of the words so that we can see this together. She looked, she saw, it was good for food. It is lust of the flesh. Eve's eyes lusted after what she had seen. It was forbidden. She gave in to that desire. She was deceived, she was enticed, and she sinned. The light to her eyes was lust of the eyes. Desire to make one wise was pride of life. This is old. This is old. This has been going on since Adam and Eve. Love not the world or the things in the world. The world is all about deception. The world is about being hostile to God. It is about enticing us and lying to us that things are more satisfying than our God. Only our unhindered love for God can bring us the joy and peace He promises. We must love Him and Him alone. This is the reality. This is the truth. This is God's way. Let's go back to our passage. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We have looked at the instruction not to love the world. That was point number one. The second item we'll look at is what it reveals and how it reveals it. Look at verse 15. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man loves the world, that reveals to us that the love of the Father is not in him. Now we have to remember our definition of world, because that is the proper context. Verse 16 tells us why this is so. All that is in the world is not of the Father. If you love what is in the world, it is not of the Father. It reveals that the love of the Father is not in you. We should not love anything that is not of God. And if we do, it reveals the condition of our hearts. I need to be clear here. It is one thing to be a Christian and be caught up in the world, maybe falling away or struggling in your walk. That is one thing. It is a completely different thing to love the world. Let me repeat that. It is one thing to be a Christian and be caught up in things of the world. It is quite another issue to love the world and the things that are in the world, as we've looked at. I want to take a look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. This is God's word. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Where are our affections? Are they on things above, or are they on the things of the earth? What are we loving more than God? What sin in our lives are ruining our walk in the light and our fellowship with God? Let's move on to verse 5 in the same passage. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, and covetousness. I was practicing that word earlier today. I'm sorry. And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things, saith the sake the wrath of God, cometh on the children of disobedience. in the which we also walk sometime when you lived in them. The point is, we need to battle them. We need to get angry at those things. We need to wage war against them. We need to mortify. We need to put to death our earthly flesh. You see, there are two things going on here. One is that you're a Christian, and you are either fallen away and you are mixed up in the world, or you are battling and you are having issues within the world. You're winning, but you're losing too. That is being caught up in the world. That is one thing. You are a Christian. The other thing, though, is that you are not a Christian. On the other hand, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. But if you are a Christian and you say you abide in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, you cannot love the things of the world. You will not love the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We've looked at the instruction not to love. We've looked at what it reveals if you love the world and how it reveals it. We'll finish up on point number three, the end result. The end result. What is the end result of not loving the world or the things in it? Let's look at our verse one more time and read through it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The end is that the world and the lusts in the world will pass away. More than that, though, those that do the will of God abide forever. Will abide forever. We're going to look at one more passage and then we'll be done. We're going to go into Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. This is God's word. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears of their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brothers and sisters, in this world, there is a battle for control. A battle for control of our minds. A battle for control of our hearts. A battle for control of souls. The destination of souls. But we take heart because we know who wins. More than that, we know who already has won, because that victory was won 1,000 years ago at the cross of Christ. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. It will all pass away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the cars, the houses, the money, the friends, the popularity, all of it will pass away. And I say, take it. Because when it's all gone, all we'll have left is Christ. And we will have him forever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace. We were dead in our sin. As we lusted after things of this earth, we were dead, and you saved us by your grace. And as we battle these things, it is by your grace that we continue. I thank you for your grace. And Father, I think of Amanda now as she's over in Swaziland. Father, our hearts go out to her. Father, may you be with her during this time. As you test her and try her in situations that she has never been exposed to before, Father, may she rest in you. May she be reflecting your love so much that others see Christ in her. May your will be done with Amanda in Swaziland as it is done in heaven. And I pray for us now, Father, as we go through the week. May we remember your words here. Your instruction. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.